You know what's so crazy, man? It's like, it breaks my heart. Nah, it really fucking breaks my heart that there's people out there that don't believe in us. Speedy, they don't believe in us. This shit breaks my fucking heart. Nah, it's fucking crazy. If you really think about it, like, it's actually humans that don't believe in us. Shame on them.
How could they?
Shame on these motherfuckers. God did.
Yes, sir. Y'all know what it is. This is EJ the DJ representing the motherfucking podcast. You are now listening to the Frocast. Big Germ, you a fool, man.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is a Trucker's Mind podcast out of California. I'm currently at work, so if you hear a bunch of shit in the background, it's the truck. Anyways, man, shout out to you guys for being the elder statesman in that space. I just wanted to give you guys some love. I'm listening to episode 496. One of the guys on there is talking about how he likes hairy vaginas. I totally disagree, man. I do not want a whole afro in my mouth while I'm trying to eat the pussy. I do not want to be licking Julius Irving afro while I'm trying to have sex. It's not going to work. Anyway, great job. Keep going. Keep doing your thing, man, and God bless you guys. Later.
Yo, this is Papa Dash Soul, and you are now listening to my favorite show, The Frocast. Keep up the excellent work. Take it away.
Hey, what up? It's Killer Mike checking in to NappyAfro.com. Make sure you keep it 100. One sound rap game, bang, bang, bang. One of the jewels on food, and I'm gone. Yeah.
NappyAfro.com.
You're now tuned into the longest running podcast on the Nappy Afro Network. This is the Frocast. I'm your host, King Germ, a.k.a. the People's Champion, a.k.a. the most electrifying motherfucking podcast today, a.k.a. the next door neighbor of Danny Tanner, a.k.a. LeBron Flames, a.k.a. the King of the Lames, a.k.a. the illegitimate son of Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Hacksaw Jim Thuggin, a.k.a. Germ Cena, a.k.a. Pod Strickland, a.k.a. Fat Sajak, a.k.a. the Brooks Bandit, a.k.a. Mr. Sensible Shoes, a.k.a. Bill Goldberg in the bedroom, a.k.a. Smoking Germ Frazier, a.k.a. the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, a.k.a. Bread DiBiase, a.k.a. Rowdy Potty Piper, a.k.a. you can't fit the sauce inside of a rapper, a.k.a. the Duke of Dignity, and my last a.k.a. Ravishing Rick Rude. Now cut the music. What I'd like to have right now is for all you don't have a direction as podcasters, don't have any kind of structure as podcasters, or you don't even want to be a podcaster as podcaster, keep the noise down while I take my robe off and show you what a real podcast sounds like. Now hit the music. Now joined by my lovely co-host, the elegant, the daunting, the always be shopping, the problematic yet well-spoken, Queen Germ, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? It's your girl, Queen Germ, a.k.a. Miss Savannah, a.k.a. I'm educated yet ignorant, a.k.a. the queen of QVC, a.k.a. bipolar mom, a.k.a. I hear no one, a.k.a. my cups runneth over, a.k.a. $3 is $3. A.K.A. a lot of crass with a dab of class. A.K.A. my afro is my halo. And my favorite A.K.A. of them all.
Your grade is your motherfucking grade.
And I'm in the building.
Queen Germ's in the building, everybody. Like always, don't forget to like, subscribe, download the Frocast by going to Frocast.com or going to any DSP out there. We are on them all. You can also call our voicemail. We have a phone number you can call. That is 347-201-2572. Leave voicemail. We'll play it on the show. We also have a Patreon you can join for as little as a dollar. Get behind the scenes exclusive content by going to nappyafro.club. And we'll shout you on the show like our latest Patreon. We got Savio. So shout out to Savio. You know, you can be just like Savio and be a Patreon. Now, if option A, B, or C didn't tickle your fancy, there is option D. What's option D? Retweet it, reblog it, add us to your story, tag us in that story, we'll shout you out like Shorty did, like Ruler Myself, like Sleazy the Black Farmer, like who else it was? Tay Tay, Mama Life, man, there's a whole bunch of people showing love, man. So y'all could be just like all those people, show us love, and we'll return that favor. Now, all the pandering is out of the way. Queen Germ, I have to ask you, how was your week?
So far, so good. I ain't going to complain. The people done messed my check up. I was expecting a little increase this pay period, but you know, I guess there's a reason for all of the madness. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to stay positive about it because I need my little money. But besides that little bump in the road, I guess I'm doing pretty good. I'm not going to complain about it because I did have plans for that money, though. But
see, that, you never make plans for the extra money. Like, because when the shit don't go through, you be disappointed. So don't make plans.
But hey, that's the story of my life. You gotta stop that. That's the story of my life. It is what it is. So, hey, I can't spend it until I get it. So I'll be spending it when I get it. However it got to shake out. Late fees and all. But whatever the hell it got to be, that's what it's going to be. How about you? How was your week?
Well, my week was pretty fucking dandy. You know, I had to postpone our singing battle because, you know.
We were
supposed to do a singing battle. So I had to postpone it. I'm ready. I mean, I know you was ready. You was trying to sabotage me.
I wasn't.
And I told you I wasn't going to be able to sing because I went to the game this weekend.
Dang, I mean, what game am I talking about? Your ass can talk, so you can sing.
But I can't sing right now. My voice is a little hoarse. I didn't take my vitamin E or nothing like that. I didn't drink my singer's tea that I got. And so my voice was a little, it wasn't singing like it was supposed to be singing. My falsetto was a falsetto. You know what I mean? So
sound like an excuse to me.
So, but anyway, get back to it. Went to the game this week. What game I'm talking about? Went to the Florida Utah game. First game in the swamp this season. First time I've been to the swamp in a while, man, before COVID hit, man. So, you know, I ain't been down there in a while. It was hot, but then the rain came like maybe like 2 hours before the game or an hour. Yeah, about 2 hours before the game. So that cooled things off. But the Utah people, the fans that were there, They like I heard it's like 0% humidity in fucking Utah. So they down here, now you know how the rains in Florida, it gets cool, right? They still down here. Man, I'm sweating like a motherfucker. It's so hot. I'm like, dude, it's cool. Y'all keep saying that. It's not cool. It's hot. I was just like, dude. And you look at the field, their players was cramping up. They falling all out, throwing up and shit. So I was just like, man, this game might be in the bag. Yeah, so, you know, we come out first drive, we get the ball, we just rolling down the field, then we fumble. They run this shit back, they score. I mean, we end up scoring before the half. I think they was up on us maybe 10-7 or we was up 14-13, whatever the score was. We was barely winning. We got lucky, you know what I'm saying? End up getting the game, the good dub. It came down to the end. We got an interception at the end. Great fucking game. But not good for sober King Germ because I was at the game 100% sober. Well, whatever I smoked before I went, but that shit had wore off by 7 o'clock. And yeah, so I was sober watching the game. My nerves bad, but it was a good game. Had a good time. We got out. You know, we wasn't caught in traffic or nothing. No shit like that. We got the fuck out of there. We was back on the road in like less than probably 20 minutes of leaving the stadium, dog. Like we was in and out. So, yeah, shout out to them for making the traffic move. But, yeah, started first day of practice today, real practice with helmets and stuff. And, you know, just going through the mode, so.
Sucking the life out of me.
Sucking the life out of me, too. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's all good. So, that was my week. That was my week. Nothing else crazy happened. I do want to send congratulations out to Dr. Brasev. Looks like he might win the Dr. Brasev fantasy. I mean, the Madden League, you know what I'm saying? His first title. So shout out to him. You know, he well-deserved title if he gets it because he really, you know, got it out the mud per se, as the kids say.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So shout out to him, man. But other than that, man, that's my week in a nutshell, man. Just trying not to, you know, start no shit. You know what I'm saying? Stay out of trouble. Keep my nose clean on and offline. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, this last month been tumultuous for the boy.
Because the boy is obsessed, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
I just go online like that. I'm not obsessed with online. I just like going online.
Because you can't stay off of them.
What do you mean? It's a statement.
Period.
It's not a statement. It's what it is. It's like I wish I could, but doing my job. This is my part of my job. I have to do. I am the social media person. For real, like you need to understand that.
I don't.
You need to.
I don't.
You need to.
I don't.
Because if that's the case, then we're just doing this for no fucking reason. You understand that, right? Like if we.
We're not gonna do this right now.
No. What I'm saying is this: if we're gonna do the show, we have to promote the show. That is how we promote our show. So all of that is promotion for the show. So if we don't do that, then what's the point of us doing the show? You see what I'm saying? It don't make no sense. We're just up here just talking. So if you're going to put a product out, you have to promote it. And that's all. That's all I'm saying. But that's my week. Y'all know what time it is. I knew a segment, and it's called What's on the Timeline? What's on the timeline this week? Black China. Who is Black China, Queen Jern? You ever heard of him?
Yeah, name sound familiar.
She was married to one of the, well, she wasn't married. She got a baby by one of the male Kardashians, and Black China used to be a stripper. But it was reported this week that she made $20 million a month on OnlyFans. I'm going to run that back. $20 million per month on OnlyFans. So if you do the math, quick math, say that's what?
You said per month, so that's easily $200 million.
$240 million, if you want to talk about the numbers. So we got $240 million that she was allegedly, reportedly making. And I got to know, Queen Jern, for $240 million, would you jump on OnlyFans?
No, because nobody would pay me $240 million.
We're just saying, if they were offering the $20 million a month, would you jump on OnlyFans for that?
I mean, it depends on what you got to do. You already know.
$20 million, whatever.
So that mean you would do anything. That mean they be saying, let a horse fuck you, and you going to lay
that's
down there and
the
let,
law.
Let a horse. I don't know what the rules are out there. All I'm saying is, if you telling somebody that you going to take that kind of money, it could be any request that could be made out there. When you're a celebrity, you can do what you want to do, and the people going to pay you regardless. That's a totally different
thing. Okay, let's say by happen chance, you're a celebrity. You get an offer. We'll pay you X amount of $1 million a month for the OnlyFans. Are you doing it? Don't give me no, it depends. I want
to
yes
you got, you can't
or
agree
no.
to something that you don't know the terms of, but if you're going to say just for the sake of the argument, just to say you're going to get some money, then hell, most people are going to say $20 million a month, I'll do it. But you still got to give me, what am I doing? What has she been reported as doing?
I mean,
if you're saying
used
that
to be a stripper. I don't know. I didn't look at it. Somebody out there that's got Black China's OnlyFans, let us know what she's doing on there. I mean, I don't know what she's doing. I wouldn't be, because she got all them fake body parts. I'm cool on Black China. Like, I don't like the fake body parts. And when I see girls with the fake body parts, I don't want to see that. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, they're like, oh, man, oh, so what? So what if it's a fake ass? Okay, what you mean, so what? Nigga, that shit fake. Nigga, nobody want to see that shit. That fake ass looking shit. I mean, I'm cool on that. I'm cool. So I'm not really on to the Black China thing. I wouldn't do it. But for $20 million a month, shit. Nigga be on there goddamn showing everything, nigga. I'm just saying. Oh, y'all want to see me try on some shoes today? Wow. Hey, look. Damn. I mean, but you got to do a lot to make $20 million. But everybody was all up in arms when they heard that. But slow down, people. News outlets are reporting that Black China makes $20 million a month from OnlyFans. This is false. That stat came from Statista, which got it from an online gaming site, SlotsUp, which estimated that 2.5% of IG followers would pay for OnlyFans. It's an unrealistic estimate, not a fact. So, before y'all get all going crazy, no, Black China's not making $20 million a month. Because I was like, ain't this hoe in court fighting for custody of her kids? Like, if you making $20 million, like, you should get it over Rob. Rob, like a junkie or some shit like that now. Something wrong with Rob. You shouldn't be goddamn worried about getting your kid from Rob, but you know, it is what it is. And that's what's on the timeline. Black China is not making $20 million. So all y'all feminists and women out there that was worried that y'all was going to have to start scripting to get that money, you can still go out there and use your degree. You ain't got a script to get it. What's the boundary with comedy? Like, where do you draw the line where something is not funny or some things you can't joke about? Queen Germ.
I mean, if you're a good comedian, I don't think you have any limits, because you would be sensitive enough to know that this is something that's going to be, you know, hard to deal with or hard to laugh at. So if I'm going to make a joke about, you know what I'm saying, any population of people that I know is not going to be funny, not going to be easy to do it, you're going to have to do it in a way that would allow somebody to laugh or chuckle or whatever.
So,
but if that's the case, if that's not the case, then you going too hard for something and it could be very offensive.
So you're saying there is a line?
I'm saying that if you're a good comedian, there wouldn't be a line, because you would know how to tell a joke and not go so hard to where someone would be offended.
But what if you're making a joke about, you know, the R word? You know, the R
special word. Needs people?
No, the four-letter R word, rape jokes.
I mean, rape is not funny, but...
So there's a line.
I mean...
So rape, incest, well, incest, that's funny.
No, it's not.
Pedophilia is...
That's not funny.
Okay, so reason why I brought that up, Queen Germ, Tiffany Haddish and Ari Spears recently came to the news.
They're my losers, but yeah.
Well, okay. Ari Spears did a skit. And in this skit, he had some wild shit going on. I mean, since it's your loser, I don't want to step all on it. I'll let you...
I mean, go ahead.
No. But, I mean, you mustn't read the line. But I just want to know, like, so, basically...
It says...
Yeah. So, I want to know. So, what they did, that was going too far, correct?
I guess so.
Did you see the video?
No.
Okay. So, in this video... He basically was Uncle, we're just to use Uncle Tony for the name right now. So Tiffany Haddish was like a mama and she had to go run somewhere. Where she was going wasn't like she was going to work. She said, oh, I'm going to do, she was actually going to the club or something. So she said she left the kid with their Uncle Pete or whatever his name was. And they were just like, do whatever he says. So while he's sitting there, like you hear some R. Kelly song come on in the background, my mind's telling me no. And he looking at the little boy sitting on the ground in his drawers, and it's very strange. And I don't think that, like I said, it wasn't funny. Pedophilia ain't something you joke about. You know what I'm saying?
But then my thing is, it's a network or somebody had to fund this event.
It was on his website, ariespears.com.
For it to have been something. So for her participation in it, I felt like that was very strange that she would think that that was okay. But at the same time, I always have to ask the question, what about the parents? Like,
I mean,
y'all let grown people get off the hook. As a parent, it's your job to protect your kids. If somebody told you the title of something they wanted you or one of your kids to participate in had the word pedophile in it, you still sending your kid over there? You still thinking that this is going to be such a great
but what if it wasn't? Movie? What if they said, oh, we're just going to do a hot dog commercial with your kid?
I don't believe that's what
they tell you. It's just a hot dog commercial. Then they get your kid over there and they telling your kid to do make love to this hot dog and moan on it and make all these sexual noises and shit. Like, that shit weird. Like, you know what I'm saying? And
so you as a parent just dropping your kid off, you not sticking around? Like, now, to me, I don't understand.
I'm not giving the parents no motherfucking bail on this, because A, you supposed to protect your kid.
One of the kids was supposed to have been 7. Another kid was supposed to be 14. So to me, if I had...
Well, I think they was 14 now. They was 7 and 8 at the time.
Okay, whatever. If my child is 7 and 8, I'm not dropping them off with some people just to do a show. Mm. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? How your kid get along with these motherfuckers? But the skit is out there and it's fucking weird as fuck. I don't think the shit was funny at all, because when I was sitting there watching it, I felt uncomfortable watching it. But I said, you know what? I'm doing this for the nation, so let me keep watching.
But then when you ask the question, your question says, is there a boundary with comedy? Yeah. Not with a comedy skit. So I'm thinking of it as the reference.
Well, I mean, comedy skit is all comedy.
But if you standing on the stage and you saying some shit ain't like portraying some shit.
Yeah.
Those are two totally different things.
Like, my whole thing was, if you're going to, like when Dave Chappelle did the R. Kelly skit, he had grown women up there acting like getting peed on. He didn't have, Ari Spears had a fucking kid. He's sitting there rubbing on him with oil and shit. And like they had one scene, the little boy was in the bathtub. He jumps in the tub with the little boy. So I'm sitting here like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you get adults to play those parts. You don't get kids to play parts where you sexualizing or even looking at a kid. Then he was sitting there, and the one scene, he was in his drawers, and the little boy was looking at him while the R. Kelly song was playing. And I was just like, this shit ain't funny. This shit is sick. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there is a boundary where comedy needs to, like, certain things you just can't joke about. Because I don't think you can make a pedophile joke funny. I don't think that. I don't think you should be trying to make pedophile jokes funny. Have I laughed at a rape joke? Yes.
So then that means that you shouldn't have no problem with nothing. Because violation is violation.
I mean.
Yeah.
But the rape joke was like, it was tasteless, but it was funny.
It couldn't have been. If it was tasteless, then it shouldn't have been funny. But, I mean, people laugh at what the hell they laugh at. I'm just saying, as far as thinking about any type of offense against a kid, they
nothing against kids is
should
funny.
Not have thought that was going to be a good skit or whatever. And like I said, when you're talking about a comedy show, some people may have made a reference in a comedy skit when you're doing stand-up where you're trying to minimize your hurt, because there's a lot of people out here, male and female, who were sexually violated as children. Mm-hmm. So if you become a comedian, you may want to tell the joke about
Tiffany Haddish was.
Exactly. You may want to tell the joke about something that happened to you as a kid that you survived, because now you feel you can laugh about it. And I don't feel like you should be knocked about that. But when you put a kid or children in a situation like this one, that is very stupid, because now you fighting for your whole survival, because whatever money you done made, you better hope all the checks have cleared the bank, because you ain't getting no more money. Because if this here, you know, the skit is out there. So people are not, it's going to be a hard one to bounce back from, in my opinion.
So yeah, man, please draw a line with the comedy, people. It's like the times that's going on now, people are trying to push the envelope. You know what I'm saying? What can I say? Like, people are trying to more shock you now than for it to be funny. You can say some shocking shit as long as it's funny. You just can't say no shocking shit that's not funny, because then it's just, like I said all the time, you can be offensive and funny, you just can't be offensive. So if you're going to say some shit about the gay niggas, you better make it funny. If you're going to say some shit about some black niggas, make it funny. You're going to say something about white people, make it funny. Just make it funny. But like I said, it should be a moral code. Don't leave the kids out of it. Raping kids and shit, that's not funny.
Raping anybody.
Well, okay, raping anybody, but especially kids, is not fucking funny.
Because rape is not something that people are supposed to do.
Yeah, you're not. You're right. You're right.
That's what I mean. So, like, to me, that's not something. If we going to put a boundary, that's the first motherfucking boundary that you got right there. Like, any violation, like, you stealing some shit from the store, like, physical property? Hell, steal some shit. But you right here violating people? Like, that ain't nothing to laugh about, because again, there are so many people who have lived in silence of the violation that they have survived, that's never going to come across as a funny thing. Like, even for those who've been brave enough to tell their story, they still have to deal with that, because, of course, the first thing somebody going to ask them is, what time was it? Where were you? What were you wearing? What were you doing? What did you do to make somebody think that you wanted it? And now you have to relive that thing and defend every action that led up to that moment. So it's not fair. And I just feel like, even as, you know, people could be comedians or what have you, you just have to think about tasteful ways to demonstrate these things. Because if they wanted to have something that was, you know, kind of frowning upon pedophilia, or trying to give kids tips as to, like, you know, the stranger danger, don't touch me here, whatever, if you were trying to give those type of tips to kids, it could have been done in some kind of way to where it would have been beneficial to the people who watched it. They would have learned something, or found out whatever the hotline is for those types of incidents. something versus you looking like you were trying to make kitty porn.
That's wild. Y'all motherfuckers need to get it together. Like I said, stop trying to be weirdos out here.
They're not trying. They trying. They think that they've made enough money that they can use the platform that they have explore all of these different things that they want to do.
I also think it's the audience. Like, people out there wants to be, you know, they're just trying to, you know, get that viral moment, go shocking. So they say that wild shit, like, and just to get it, you know, get the joke off, but still the joke could have been made without you doing all that wild extra shit. Just work hard at your craft, man. You ain't got to say no violating ass shit to make people laugh these days, man. Just stop it. I got to ask you, Queen Germ, would you take $1 billion or 30 minutes with Jesus?
You talking about Jesus Christ?
That's only Jesus.
I mean, I'm just making sure.
I ain't talking about Jesus that work on niggas' cars.
I mean, hey.
Or Jesus that work on the website. I ain't talking about that nigga.
Okay. I'm just talking about
Jesus Christ.
So we can be clear.
$1 billion or 30 minutes with him?
I think Jesus would want me to take $1 billion.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't about to say nothing. Because if I wanted them 30 minutes.
Last week you said you'd get your arm cut off.
No. You told me that it was going to be for me to denounce Christianity or something.
Yeah.
So that means nigga, that I believe.
Yeah.
And the same way I believed in the Lord to get my arm chopped off, I'm going to believe that this is a blessing that he wants me to have. I'm going to see him when I leave here and go to heaven. I don't need to pay $1 billion for that. I can get my check. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm. So I'm good. He's with me every day. So with my $1 billion, me and Jesus is going to be good.
Okay. I got a better one. $1 billion or a guaranteed ticket to heaven?
I'm going to take my $1 billion.
Over a guaranteed ticket to heaven?
I'm already guaranteed.
No, it ain't.
Yes, because I already know what it is. What it requires. Yeah, see, that's for y'all unbelievers to think. Because, see, if you know how you living, you should already know what you got going on. It ain't. It's already written. I already know what it is. Yeah, I already know what it is. So it ain't no need for me to have. I ain't got to pay for that. I already paid for it day by day. I'm here doing what I'm supposed to be doing that work.
That's up in the air if you don't get in there, like, without. Like, it's up in the air. You could get in, you could not. I'm just saying.
I think that with $1 billion, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to be done help so many people. I'm going to be a blessing to others right here. And therefore,
okay, I'm gonna make it even
be good.
I'm gonna make it even tougher for you. $1 billion, or you can't get in heaven at all.
What you talking about?
So you either take $1 billion and not go to heaven, or turn down $1 billion and go to heaven. Which one you
take? I guess I'm gonna have to turn down the money.
Damn, for real?
I'm saying, you're telling me that I'm going to go to hell.
You don't
if I or purgatory, whatever.
You might go to purgatory.
So you
know how
me,
we feel about purgatory.
I know
here.
That the doors to heaven are closed for good for me.
Yes, the doors are closed forever.
I'm not going to choose that.
What? Are you crazy?
I'm not going to choose that. Like, who is going to choose for their soul to be wandering for what? For me to now have to live in an alien host?
Look,
that's what you want.
Hey, you're really putting your faith into your own hands, because you was like, look, I can live this $1 billion, however much time I got on earth after I got this money, and knowing what I'm gonna do for my generations to come, just for my soul to wander the earth.
Nah, bro.
Oh, yeah, give me that $1 billion.
And you still ain't gonna do nothing with that money.
What you mean? I'm gonna do a whole bunch with that money. I'm gonna have a good time.
You gonna have what if you died the next day?
Oh, well, I can say I died a billionaire, and it is what it is. My family.
You don't know how it's going to work out, so you take the money, and then, boom, you dead. Like, it didn't help nobody, and you still ain't going to
help. It did help some niggas. Whoever's still here, like, yo, this nigga died, left us $1 billion.
Knowing you wouldn't even have that shit written. Everybody be fighting over that.
That's what you do when you get all your affairs in order. You know that person that won that $1 billion or the ticket, they still ain't came up yet.
I know they did. They scared.
Yeah, but he better hurry up. Time is a ticking, motherfucker. It's been about, what, 1 month already?
And they better put it
might
back
have
in,
been two.
They better put it back in the pot.
Mm-mm. And that's why everybody think the lottery shit be fake when they get up to all them. They said these people in these random places be winning. They just be the lottery people taking all the money, keeping it, saying they gave it to some person. And then, but it don't really be no winner at all. So, you know, you got to watch out for your lottery people.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
But I need mine.
Queen Germ is about it.
I am.
So you wouldn't talk to Jesus?
No, because see, I know that I will. That's the thing that you don't understand. I will talk to Jesus, but what you changed it to.
Yeah, because you made it so simple. You was like, oh, yeah. Because I was trying to, I wasn't satisfied with the answers I was getting. So I know. Let's keep making the stakes harder and harder for her to get in. You know what I'm saying? Because if you feel like you live your life as a good person and you get in, so you like, psh, I already know I'm going.
Yeah, so God bless me with this
like,
billion.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I was like, nah. I need somebody that's more on the fence, on the fringe. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. That's why I need that. That's why I had to make yours a little more, your hurdle a little higher, you know, more steeper. You know,
I already got my ticket.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to make it so a ticket or the billion. That's what you need to get. That's why I wanted to see you give up. And so you said you're giving up the billion.
Yeah, definitely. But no problem. And see, I'm not no heathen.
You're not a heathen? That's cool. You ain't got to be a heathen to take that deal. I know some Christian folk that'll take that deal.
They ain't Christians for real.
I mean...
I'm just being real.
I will tell you, call one of your sisters up.
Mm-mm. They sleeping anyway.
Oh, no, they teaching. I wish I knew a Christian folk that was up this late.
Mm-hmm.
But they all
you know some.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I know none. Let me see, Christian folk. I don't know that many Christian folk.
Okay, well, let's go on.
Yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. I hear a lot of podcasters say this. They say podcasting is therapeutic. I happen to say that. Or this is my therapy. And I really want to know, is podcasting therapeutic?
I mean, it's a line of communication. If you take advantage of it, it can be. Many cases, I mean, y'all heard me say the podcast saved my marriage, or our marriage, whatever. But it's like, it's what you choose to make of it. Because at the end of the day, if you are hoping to have a dialogue with another person or persons, you can make something out of it. Some days that you really piss me the fuck off. And, hey, I have to deal with it. But it's all out on the table. You deal with it how you deal with it, and you keep it moving. You come back the next week. Sometimes I don't get to talk to you for real until I get on the podcast. So, hey, I guess this is time that I ought to cover it. I don't know. But, yeah.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, don't.
Finish.
So, the short answer to the question is yes. For most people, it probably is. Especially when you come, you're organized, you're thinking about things, when you have some level of appreciation for what the other person brings to the table, it's always beneficial because you can hear what someone else has to say and you can, you know what I'm saying, have that dialogue and have some understanding as to why a person thinks the way they think. But, you know, and it's not like every day is going to be some profound thing you figure out about your co-host or whatever. Some days it's just a show. Then some days it'll be like, oh my God, I didn't think we had that much in common. Then another time you talk and it's like, oh, me and this nigga should have never been together. And sometimes it's just like, you know, it reinforces different themes. But definitely as far as being therapeutic, I would say yes, it is. And, you know, it's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's therapy to me also at times because I like to talk. I mean, I'm not really, you know, I keep it real on here on the show 90% of the time. The other 10% just be jokes. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, I say things for shock value. Nothing offensive, but it's always funny. You know what I'm saying?
You think?
I know. I got a pretty good shot rate. My joke rate is around about 95.3%. So it's like 4.7% my joke might miss, but 95% of the time, that joke hitting. It used to be up to 96 point something, but, you know, lost a little step. Lost a little step, yeah. But, so I feel like, do I ever get on here and bare my soul? Not really. I mean, at times, you know, it depends on the nature of the conversation. I mean, you know, I am guarded to the, you know, chest a little bit with, you know, things I like to share. But most of the times, I mean, I'm usually open with the people. So I see it's therapeutic in that point. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I come out here and just, I'm going to be on here crying about some shit because I'm so emotional about it because that's just not how I am as a person. You know what I'm saying? But I do feel like podcasting has helped. You know what I'm saying? Helped me, because, you know, I'm still me. It's just that my voice has been broadcast on a wider scale. So, you know, all the germaphobes out there, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm able to reach more, you know what I'm saying? Instead of my small little disciples that I had. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
Yeah, so now I can spread my word. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I don't think you should do this instead of therapy, because some of y'all niggas need to go to therapy. Y'all think starting to, can we all hear people say podcasting is therapeutic? No, nigga, you just need therapy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas, some niggas be out here trying to podcast through it when they really need to go see a therapist. And then the listeners, we be sitting there like, yo, like, this motherfucker crazy. Or, whoa, wow. You know what I'm saying? So some of y'all that's out here podding, that think that, you know, it's not therapeutic. You just need therapy. Because everybody don't need a podcast. Just like everybody don't need to rap. Everybody don't need to act. Everybody don't need a model. Everybody, you know.
But you got to try it.
Yeah,
if it's in your heart and it's something that you think that you should do, nobody should be able to. If you really believe in yourself, nobody should be able to tell you that you shouldn't do this thing. You got to try it to prove to yourself that you shouldn't have did it.
But see, that's
the thing that you got to be able to do, because then you live with regrets. And in your mind, you think you would have been the bomb singer, dancer, podcaster. But when you go out there on that stage and you see that shit look good, it look easy, but that's not what that is. And so either you going to, you know, step the shit up, or you're going to step off. But it's going to have to be something that you know without a shadow of a doubt was for you or wasn't for you. Yeah. Nobody could tell you that.
True, but I think technology also aids people in thinking, because the ease of doing things. Like, if you got an internet connection, you could be a rapper, a podcaster. If you got a phone, you could be a model, a fucking chef, a goddamn influencer, whatever, a brand ambassador. It don't take much to do nothing these days. Like, so the ease of doing these things have made people think that it's easy. Like, everybody think it's easy to rap. Everybody think everybody's easy to own a business. How many fucking food trucks we seen pop up, you know, during the last 2 years? How many pop-up shops and people opening, you know, all kind of entrepreneur, and then next thing they know, they starting to run as soon as shit get tough. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't, you know, you got to stand in the paint and really do it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, all these podcasters out here that's quitting and shit, and, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm still open to do shows. What the fuck I want to talk to you for? Like, if you don't want a podcast, why do I want to talk to you? You know what I'm saying? That makes no sense.
Maybe they want you to help them get their stuff.
But you're going
to
say, I'm not doing AR. I'm retiring from podcasts, but I'm still open to do shows. For what? What? You're retired.
They still talk.
You're retired. What do I don't want to talk to you about retirement. You know what I'm saying? If I'm playing ball, I'm hanging with niggas that's hooping. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
That just is what I'm saying. Like, so the niggas that, you know, I cut my iron with, you know what I'm saying? We sit there, not saying it's more of a, you know what I'm saying, a building. Like, you know, we sit there, bounce ideas off each other. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Help, you know, give each other, like, hey, man, I heard your show, this, that, boom, 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 or whatever. You know, little stuff like that. It's just like, you know, it's like steel sharpening steel. And you know, I guess a lot of people don't have that network of people with them that, you know, so maybe that's why it's a little different for us. You know what I'm saying? Because we actually got, like, a crew that really, you know, different minds that see stuff differently. And, you know, so I don't know. Get your network up, guys. You know what I'm saying? That's all we can tell you. You know what I'm saying? Get around some dope creators and y'all stay creating. Like, it ain't about nothing else but creating shows. Keep doing your show. Stay consistent. You know what I'm saying? You know, stay creative. That's it, man. But therapy. Sure it is. Sure it is. Because some days I get on here talking my shit, I just be in the mood to talk shit. Or I be in the mood to be funny. Or I be in the mood to be serious. Or whatever.
You're an asshole.
I wake up an asshole. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Asshole is my default character. You know what I'm saying?
Apparently.
You know.
And you default a lot.
That's my default, man. You know, I mean, you catch me on a random, probably an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's time to be funny. But just 80% of my day, yeah, I'm my asshole shit. You know, 20% funny. Yeah. Never serious. Never at all. But yeah. See, that was therapeutic right there we just did.
No.
Interesting.
Not really.
I got a new top 10 this week. I got the top 10 dudes that be slanging that thing. This is from at P. Duthel on Twitter. And here you go. Number 13, truck drivers. Number 12, UPS workers. Number 11, midgets. Number 10, niggas with nubs.
That's it.
Number 9, ugly niggas. Number 8, niggas who bite their nails. Number 7, niggas who smoke weed. Number 6, FedEx workers. Number 5, skinny niggas. Number 4, Aries men. Number 3, niggas with pretty feet. Number 2, broke dudes. And the number 1 nigga that be slanging that thing is dark skinned dudes. So, Queen Shirt, what are your 3 favorite dudes that be slanging that thing off the list?
I'm gonna say ugly niggas because they got something to prove. I'm gonna say midgets.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that. Midget used to mess
with you. I ain't fucking no midget nigga.
Yeah, you were. That nigga was a midget, bro.
He wasn't no midget. He was just kind of short.
That nigga was little.
I mean, because, you know, midgets, they should have enough dangling to sling around because everything is condensed. So that means the dangling, well, it would have to have a good little size to it. Look good girth and all that.
He's still a midget, though.
We talking about dick. That's what the thing says. Slinging that thing.
You still got to fuck the midget, though.
Okay, I never fucked a midget, but I'm just left to believe that it would be worth fucking. So, we got the ugly niggas, we got the midgets, and hell, I'm going to go with the broke dudes because they need somewhere to motherfucking stay. So, they ought to be slinging that thing, trying to get where they can go.
Damn. Oh, what's my top 3? Yeah, right, nigga. Fuck out of here. You really thought?
Hey, hell if I know you over here talking that shit in the beginning of the show. So
I'm just saying.
Yeah. If y'all want to hear King Germ wilding about some bullshit.
Gotta be a Patreon here about that.
Yeah,
though.
Pay the dollar.
Pay a dollar, you get to hear. So that was our top 10 this week. Hope y'all enjoyed it. TV Talk time. Queen Journey TV Talk. Man, let's go ahead and talk about The Shy, man. Season finale, man. Let's go ahead and get it out the
That's
way.
That's what
man.
That was?
Yeah, season finale. That was a season finale.
Well, all we can do is be thankful.
I mean, bruh, that was the season finale show last night.
I didn't realize that was a season finale. I just thought it was a show. But
yeah, thank you. Like, what happened in the show, we're going to wrap it up real quick. Trigg got on there, and when he did it, we announced that he was running for city council. He got up there and told everybody that he was in a fake relationship with old girl. And, you know, then he said he was really in love with somebody else. And
he went and booed off.
Yeah, he went there and ran up into it, kissed her in front of everybody. Then him and Marcus, Gemma?
It's Gemma.
Okay, Gemma's daddy. They
released a video of him.
They released a video of Otis Perry beating on him. So Otis Perry on the low again. He went and recruited Bakari or Jabari or whatever his name is.
Bakari.
Yeah, he went and recruited him to be his eyes on the street, give him some money. So he got a killer on the squad now. And
Bakari fucking up because he done told the girlfriend. The girlfriend said she don't like to hang with criminals or whatever, street niggas. And like, he said, you hang with your brother or you down with your brother.
You deal with your brother.
So then that was fucked up. She got up and left. Now Kev want to be emancipated from his mama and them. So he trying to do the most for no reason because the girl he with ain't probably going to give him none. Then you
trying to even pressing him about moving out.
Nah, she don't want you to move out because she gonna be at her house. She ain't going nowhere with your crazy ass.
She was just like, nigga, stop. Nigga, like, what is you doing?
Like, you doing the moves. Then the girls finally had a little powwow. Keisha and what the other girl named?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Yeah. The little boy doing better in school. Tiffany.
Nigga ain't doing better than they said. They put that nigga in IED,
IEP. He need an IEP. He need an individualized education plan.
That nigga, program, something. That nigga ain't doing better. He now they diagnosed the problem.
Exactly.
They say, oh, we see something wrong with your motherfucking stupid ass.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like.
So, Keisha was offered a job or asked to apply for the job because the teacher noticed that she's into, you know, helping the children and all of that stuff. And then Jada and... But the man name is got married.
Jada and Darnell.
Darnell got married. And Darnell bought her a house. Mm-hmm. The house that they got married in the backyard was the house that he purchased for them. That was real, real cute and nice and special.
Yeah, let's see what else happened.
The Rashad, daddy gave the boy the money, the girl the money for Jemma the money for the record label.
Jemma used some of her college money to float Maisha's rap career. To be her manager. So her dad made an agreement. Like, her dad's soft as fuck, man. Your daughter got pregnant. Now she ain't going to school to be a fucking rap. Nigga, what? Nigga, control your fucking house, nigga.
That's what happened with y'all rich niggas. Y'all
that nigga done lost. That church. Nigga was strict as fuck. All of a sudden, this nigga, he got his ass beat. Then the nigga turned to a straight up goddamn. His daughter just running over his ass. She's smoking weed. Hey, next time you smoke weed, just open a window. Nigga, what? Like, bruh. Like, he just went soft on her. So I don't know what's going on. And I couldn't believe the show got picked up for another season because the storylines were just...
Hey, you didn't know the right people.
This was a terrible season of the show. Terrible. Terrible. A waste.
They was holding together because this is going to be a good one this next waste. Season.
They just had shit in there for no fucking reason. What was that scene? I was like, yo, what the fuck was that in here
when
for?
When the little funny looking boy was at the stop sign?
Yeah, like Jake pulls up to the stop sign. Nigga's like, is that trick? So nigga runs up. On the car. Like,
Bakari pulled
this nigga at a stop sign. At a stop sign. Niggas run up on you at a stop sign and you don't motherfucking... Like, the fastest you was driving down the street, like, why did you stop? Like, it was the stupidest fucking scene. And, I mean, it was dumb. But maybe that scene was because Bakari pulled the gun out and now he got somebody... That's what showed Buddy he was a shooter and shit. So that's how he actually got the job. So, but anyway, man, the shot's fucking done. I'm speechless. Like, this shit was terrible, this shit. Terrible. You asked me to grade this season, I'm giving it a D. C minus D. You know what I'm saying? D plus. Pause. But, next up, we got rap shit. I think this was the season finale of rap shit, too.
Well, they had started slowing down.
Well, I mean, you know, the grind, you know what I'm saying? You know, like I this episode we got, you know, Shauna, she trying to you know, basically Shauna was she went and hollered at her old friend and he needed to look because his rapper had did some racist shit. So, you know, basically he formulated plans since they were hot, bring them on tour, it'll help them out and it'll clean up his girl in good graces. But Miami. Mia wasn't gonna work with her unless they involve the Duke, because she was like, she down for people who down with her. And so, you know, so the Duke's still going to be their manager.
Then the scammer done got knocked.
Yeah, scammer got knocked. And next thing you know, he must have either they followed the trails or whatever like that, put it all together. Because at the end of the episode, the police was there looking for asking questions about
I think the boys set
her.
Up.
Nah, I think just...
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, you a liar. I mean, we scamming together. Ain't nobody on, but they say ain't no honor amongst
these. He told her that, though. He said he had to tell her that. He told her, he said, look, go home, wash it down. You know, he let her know, like, go erase everything. Because she was like, do they know about me? He was just like, you know, listen.
Because he done snitched. Like,
I mean, but they.
Y'all work at the same place. How the hell they come back to me? It could have all been on you.
That's what I'm saying. He was the one going, making the purchases. She was the one stealing the cars.
I get all that.
He wouldn't
have
access to the cards if it weren't for her.
He could have had all kind of things. But, I mean, you know, like I said, when you doing shit like that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the risk.
That is a damn risk. So,
be careful out there.
Yeah, some balling ass rapper offers he gives Miami Mia like 50 bands and tells her to call him tomorrow. Guessing.
Yeah. It could have been 10, but yeah.
Yeah. Them were $10,000 racks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know.
So that was still no more than 30 then.
It was about 4 or 5, bro, because she had 2 and each of the homegirls had 2. One in their hand apiece. And she okay. had 2 in her hand, maybe 1 in her hand. So he gave her about 40, 50. You know. But still. You know, so that's where they left us with on that. So if that was the season finale, which so I think it was.
Now she's trying to play her boyfriend to the left, the baby daddy to the left.
Yeah.
Trying to act like she don't want to talk to him because you got this nigga money. But your baby
but it's
daddy.
It's popularity, though.
Yeah, but the baby daddy was starting to break you off and do right by you, so I don't understand how you could afford to exchange that for a nigga who don't know you, may not even want to be around your kid. So you gotta weigh your odds.
It's a good look for her musically. Like that's
it is,
thing.
But she could tell a nigga that we ain't gonna be on the scene booed up nowhere. Cause even with the other little girl, the scammer, they reconnected. That's how she ended up getting caught up with the police, was because they was out in the club that night. And that's how the people came and got her. She went to go get the little champagne glasses, and they were supposed to be toasting
they was
it
asking
up.
For
the,
yeah, because she was like, yo, what you, I ain't working tonight.
Like,
they
yeah,
was
I said,
like,
oh, but they asking for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now you done got her all hemmed up.
Yeah.
Should have stayed home.
Should have stayed. But now they were doing
they
the whole.
They were supposed to be doing something out there.
That's what they did, that whole little thing with showing they was announcing they was going on tour with old girl. That's when all that was. So, yeah. And the last thing we watched, man, Power, book 3, Raising Kanan. What you think, Queen Jern?
Again, I say Rock does not care about her son. She don't love that man. She trying to put him in harm's way. But she realizing her plan has backfired on her because she see that her son is steady gravitating to the popo. And yeah. He wants to know more about the story
mm-hmm.
that this man is his daddy. And I think what clicked for him was when Junk was saying that the lady, her mama, it was something about when she looked at the mama and saw the lady eyes, look her in the eyes, whatever, whatever. It was like it was something that she knew before, blah, 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 blah. And so I think that was the reason why he couldn't kill that nigga. Like, you shot him because this is what your mama told you to do, but it was something about him that made you not really, like, you know what I'm saying, just gun him down like crazy because of the fact that, you know, when you saw him, when you finally saw him, you finally looked at him, you didn't know what it was about him, but you knew that you really wasn't going to give it your best shot to kill him because, you know, it was something that you knew that you shouldn't have done. And now that you haven't done it, the man that survived, you feel like that's a reason why you need to be, you know what I'm saying, interacting with him, went to the prison to see the daddy, so-called, uncle. Your so-called uncle. He telling you about you look like the man and you like him in so many ways when in reality, hell, dumb people don't know you. They don't know what the hell you about. You already said you ain't about that drug shit, so clearly you ain't the nigga son if it was based solely upon your desire to be in the streets.
Yeah, that nigga was just like, yo, he just said some old bullshit out.
Like, what the people saying on the street? Your mama saying, da-da-da-da-da? No, people saying this. Old people always got something to say. So, it's just like, you know, you just keep on, because the kid, he don't know.
Yeah.
He don't know what to do with himself, but I think both of them going to have a discovery, him and his little cousin. She going to have a relationship with her mama, which she need, because the girl is strange. And her daddy is weird. He's like a loose cannon. So
he's working on his anger, though.
Yeah, he working on his anger because he's trying to fuck his therapist.
No, I think he's not. He's getting some, because you see he was real calm with the nigga in the wheelchair, how he has been applying it in real life. So shout out to Marvin for working with the anger
issues.
But
he ain't doing nothing with his daughter in real life.
I mean, he's trying to talk to her.
She walking away, but you got to fight for that type of time.
You can't touch her now because she.
He don't have to touch her. He can just say, you know.
She ain't trying to hear that.
Can you help? Can I get a couple minutes of your time?
No, she ain't trying to hear that shit. You know, so she liked the room because he had redecorated the room, painted for her and everything.
But she's still moving out on.
Yeah, she's still like, yo, grabbing more and more of her clothes. You know, she might go stay with mom's. Who knows?
I think that's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, because she said she had to go to church or something. And her mom like,
the lady
yeah.
asked her about going to church.
Yeah, so, you know. What else happened in this episode? Lou, he basically, I think that him and his producer, Lou went to go. I think he went and hollered at your boy, the nigga Cookie, or either the mama did that shit Who knows? I mean, you know, Rock did it. Somebody, but he got new equipment in there. And
I think it was Lou.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, she got to talking to the nigga about the business that he have to wash his money with the art. He be buying the art or whatever, and that's how he wash his money. And then she went and got.
Didn't he ask her for some money?
He asked her for some money. You talking about Lou?
Yeah, Lou asked.
He asked her for some money, but then she was saying something about my money is your money, and you got to pay me back with my money. Yeah. So it was just like a whole riddle with that shit. Oh, okay. But my thing was when her and the you said his name was Cookie or something.
Yeah, he was Cookie on Ray Donovan.
Oh, okay. So whatever his name is in this show, they were together. Okay. They were together in the art gallery. And so that's how she realized, like, oh, this is how you clean your money. She did take Symphony's idea and the little Latina that was watching her money in the back of her store and went ahead and got her a house. So that was one good thing that she did. Well, she's supposed to be signing on the house, I guess, on the next episode. So she got her a spot. Hopefully her and her family will be able to enjoy it. Nobody don't ride over there and shoot the shit up.
Mm.
But it's finna get foolish when you're looking at the stolen drugs Keenan got, stolen money. They talking about dealing with a nigga on some shit that he did.
Yep.
So somebody, I don't know.
Somebody gonna have to,
hopefully they get to talking about it so that he can fess up. Because otherwise, somebody gonna get hemmed up.
Because it's already making old boy look bad, the one that used to work for Unique.
Mm-hmm.
And he getting everything. Like, that's why Unique just last look, because every time they go over Newark, the mob robbing them and shit of their shit. So Unique is basically finally the one telling them about it. So he told him, like, this is my man, don't rough him up. So this one, they sent him on, and he ain't get roughed up or nothing, and the shit got stolen. That's going to be a problem. And the money was short. It's looking like he's the motherfucking rat. So he's going to get dealt with. But, y'all go check Power out, man. We ain't going to keep going on and on and on and on about it. Y'all got to watch it. We going to break down the whole fucking show. Well, it's Queen Jern's favorite time of the show. It's time for Bad Black Cinema. Bad Black Cinema, or the BBC as we like to call it around here. It's with me and Queen Jern. Act out situations suggested by you, the listener, or sometimes we just make them up. Before we begin to this improv, let me let y'all know we are not classically trained actors. We did not study at Juilliard. Hell, we did not take any acting classes, but we come here and we do this for y'all every week. This week, the situation goes a little something like this. Situation is, man wants to take his friend to the game instead of his girl. So, peep this, Queen Jern. Dude wins tickets to a game off the radio. His girl, let's say, it's the Super Bowl. Fuck it, it's the Super Bowl. His girl assumed he going to the Super Bowl with her. She's getting excited about going to the Super Bowl. But there's a plot twist. He wants to go with his friend. Queen Jern, are you ready?
I think so.
Here we go. Action. Baby, I cannot believe it. Guess what?
What's going on?
So, you know that little contest I was entering? I kept entering every day online. So anyway, come back today. Bye, y'all. One ticket to the 2023 Super Bowl.
Woo!
I can't believe it. Yes.
Okay, so we going.
Okay, honey.
So what time? So what you going?
Super Bowl is in I think it's in Glendale this year or something like that. It's in Arizona. So you know, expense paid, tickets to the game.
Okay, you know, so we'll be out there for the whole weekend.
Oh, about that. See, you know me and my buddy, man. This is like me and my buddy dream, man. You know, me and him, we grew up together, babe. Like, you know.
Who was your buddy? Like, you got a buddy that I don't know that you ain't got no name?
My best friend, Todd. My best friend, Todd.
Interesting.
Todd, that was the best man at our wedding.
That ugly ass nigga?
Yes, Todd. My childhood friend. Bruh. It was so always been our dream to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, tell him to dream new dreams and y'all can go together when he wins some tickets to the Super Bowl.
I can't. Babe, listen, you don't even really like football like that.
I like it enough to know that I want to go to see the people on the halftime show.
Listen, you see, you want to go to Todd? Me and him want to watch the game.
That sounds lame.
But this, babe, please.
All I know is if I ain't in that, we gonna have a real problem when you come back.
Listen, you don't even like football.
I like it enough to go.
Listen, babe, listen. Why would you want to go? Like, this
because
is
I want to go to say I've been to the Super Bowl.
I mean, we'll go another time.
We would never go. Shit, it done took you your whole damn life to go, and you got some free tickets.
That's what I'm saying. So
I know it'll never happen. So you want to tell me a bold-faced lie so you and your old crazy-ass homeboy could go somewhere?
We might have some money enough one to y'all go to the Super Bowl y'all one
ain't
day.
Gonna you ain't going to have no money.
Come on, man. Let me tell
you. How you gonna? When you going to have money? You begging me to take a nigga somewhere.
I'm not begging. I'm just saying, like, just sit this that one shit, out.
No.
This is like, he's a real football fan.
I'm a real football fan.
You don't, come on, baby. You don't really like football like that. You know you don't, man. Listen, man.
You don't know what I like, apparently.
I do know what you like, baby. We sitting right here. I live with you.
Okay, so if I watch football with you all the time, why would I not want to go to the Super Bowl?
I mean, but.
You're not making no sense.
We could go to any game, man. Like
we could, but that's not any game. That's the doggone Super Bowl. It's only happening once every year.
This is like Todd.
And you talking about Todd. Of all people in the world, you talking about Todd.
It's like my childhood boy. It's my day one.
He your day one?
Yes.
How tall your day one?
We've known each other since we was 4.
Y'all known each other since y'all was 4?
Yes.
We've known each other since we were 24. So what's the difference?
20 years.
Besides that.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Todd is a nigga.
But it's like my dog.
So,
like,
what can Todd do for you when you going on the Super Bowl trip?
It's just the experience of me and him. Like, we've been always talking about going to the Super Bowl, and now it's like.
So you telling me this nigga ain't had money to go to the Super Bowl?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, but this.
You don't know. That's the thing. This trip is for us. This is a trip for us. This ain't no trip for you and no Todd. Man. Then you go out there and that little nasty nigga, he'll have you out there all kind of places. You be out there to the strip club, and then people put you in all these good accommodations. Somebody actually think you got some motherfucking money. Now then, what you gonna do? You gonna come back with some bullshit?
Nah, babe, just listen. Just sit this one out. We'll go.
Don't tell me. Don't sit nothing out now, because that makes me angry.
We go to the next game in town or whatever like that. I'll let you pick a game.
In town.
Or wherever you want to go. It don't matter. It just pick another game. But just let me take Todd to the Super Bowl.
Let you take. You see how the fuck that sound? Let me take Todd. Like, who would say that?
Cut. Bad Black Cinema, y'all. So when that situation really arise?
And it's not.
What?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense for a nigga to say that they gonna take their homeboy. Now, if your wife don't or woman don't like sports, then it shouldn't really matter. But you don't get to go nowhere. Shoot. You ain't had no business going nowhere last weekend. I let your ass do that shit. Damn. Yeah.
Let me do that?
Yeah.
That's just
yeah, because I don't even believe that you was with who you supposed to be with.
You saw me.
No, the fuck I didn't. I dropped you off into a parking lot. I don't know who came and picked you up. It could have been any woman on the face of this earth. But you could have been at her house all day Saturday, and then you decided to say, hey, I'm back in town after you done... You know what I'm saying?
So I posted,
nailed her to the wall. I don't know what you did with the woman.
So even though I posted a picture at the game.
Not with a nigga in there. You had some shit posted up. I don't know if that's some old shit. That could have been a backdrop.
That was today.
That could have been a backdrop. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Even the live action that I had.
I didn't see no live action. I didn't see no live action. You must have tagged some other hoes in it. But you didn't let that come up on my timeline.
Oh, wow.
So... I don't know what you had going on. So, The next one, all the rest of them, you claim you taking your son with you. So, I'm going to need y'all to be there together. Because anything else, it ain't going down this time.
Wow. Jesus Christ. Interesting.
It ain't going down. Because, see, you got me fucked up now. You think it's a game. But please know, you've been warned. You're on my radar, motherfucker.
For no reason. Let's go ahead and read some rap lyrics, y'all. Over here, we read rap lyrics in our office voice, our professional voice, our serious voice, our dramatic voice. It don't matter how you read the motherfucking lyrics, as long as you read them. This time, it's my turn. And this one goes a little something like this. I was pulling up out the driveway. Car been parked since Friday. I look and I look back. It wasn't there, but I saw him following on the highway. and I today know that I'm a blast. See, I don't know who in it because the car's whiz, windows was tinted. And I be seeing shit that ain't there. It ain't there, but I be seeing shit. I be in places without being seen there, but being seen a place without even being there. And it seems like I'm in a different time zone. This dope game, coke game, got my mind gone. Got my mind gone. I be having nightmares every day. I'll be woke, but I'll be asleep. I looked at Shot the nigga, but I turned around and it was me. It got me annoyed, but I ain't paranoid. That was the ghetto laureate known as Silk the Shocker with his verse on I Always Feel Like off TRU's album True to the Game. Silk the Shocker voted like the worst rapper of all time, and that's some of his work right there, buddy. That nigga was just saying shit. That nigga said, I be seeing shit that ain't there. It ain't there, but I be seeing shit. What?
You heard him. You heard what he said?
Then the nigga said, I be in places without being seen there, but be seeing a place without even being there. Like, this nigga, yo, this nigga,
he just got the good dope.
This nigga was just saying some.
I ain't mad at him, though.
Oh, shit. Well, anyway, next week is Queen Jern time. We'll see what she comes up with. What's HBCU confessional time? HBCU confessional is when we go to their Twitter, read some tweets, and bring them home to Queen Jern. This one goes a little something like this. My ex cheated on me and left me. Now she wants to come back to me because her new man that she left me for isn't treating her right, and she says she missed me. MVSU. Queen Jern, react.
First of all, it ain't never that serious. Y'all in school, you ain't got to worry about these hoes. Like, okay.
That's that real love when you were younger, I heard. They said that's when that shit was pure, like, just love, just, you know, just feelings.
Yeah. That's what you think?
That's what I heard.
Oh, okay. So you ain't love nobody for real?
Not when I was younger. Mm. I love people. I love you. I know you taught me what love is.
Child. See, that was good if I ain't know no better.
That's the truth.
But I know better. But nonetheless, it ain't no need for you to get caught up in no feelings, because if the girl cheated on you, she left you, she did all this other stuff, she want to come back. Let her say she want to come back because she miss you. Don't tell her she could come back, or don't think that she want to come back because the nigga ain't doing it right. That means if the nigga was doing it right, she wouldn't be thinking about your ass. So that means that's even more of a reason why you shouldn't want to be with her. Because she doesn't really want to be with you. She wants out from the shit she going through. So to me, that's no need to make amends, because she's not really into you. She's just going to you because you're a familiar place. It's not because she wants to be there. Mm. So I would say, bye, Felicia. Keep it moving. Do what you've been doing. So it ain't no need to double back. Don't turn around and think that there's something over here for you to do.
Yeah. You know me, I don't believe in spinning the block. So if you spin the block, that's on you, my nigga. But, you know, she cheated on you. So, you know, if you bring her back, you bring her back a cheater. And then that's them wild cards right there. So tread lightly, my guy. So that's all I got to say about that.
I mean, people change. But as far as her reasoning, I mean, my thing is, if you say that she felt sorry for what she did and she really wanted to be back with me, I mean, you may not believe it. Yeah. But at the same time, saying that you just don't want to be in a relationship that you think is bad, I just don't see me saying that would be the reason I take somebody back. Oh, you don't want to be where you at. You didn't want to be where you was at when you was with me. Hell, you cheated on me. So, I'm just not convinced that you the one.
Exactly. Like, no. So, if you like those kind of tweets, go check them out on Twitter. It's Keep It 100 time. Queen Jerm, do you have a Keep It 100?
Yeah, my Keep It 100 this week is simply the fact that people talk. People talk too damn much sometimes.
100.
Yeah, we said this shit was therapeutic, but some shit ain't to be repeated. So, if you got a secret, keep it to your damn self, because people tell your business. Just remember that. Mm. Keep your own secrets.
Yeah. My Keep 100 go a little something like this, man. People think that you stop talking to them means there's beef.
100.
Yo, if you don't take those good memories and move the fuck on, man. That's my Keep It 100.
That's how you feel?
I'm saying, that's how a lot of people, like, I see a lot of angry people, you know, online in the real world, be holding on to grudges with people. And I'm just like, you know how much it takes to hold on to a grudge, nigga? Like, I just can't, like, sometimes when I'm, like, purposely grudging with somebody, like, that shit is like a weight. You know what I'm saying? So I don't like holding grudges. I just go ahead and that's why I can, like, make people just turn to Casper the Friendly Ghost. You know what I'm saying? And just not see them.
But then as grown people, why you don't think that if we used to talk every day or we real cool, we got so much of history, why the hell you can't be an adult and just say whatever the shit was that was went left, this how I perceived it, and let it be. If we ever was that cool, there's no reason for you to have a mystery as to why we not cool no more. That's just grown people shit. That's childish when you say, I'm not going to talk to you no more, and you just need to piece it together.
But if I have, it's a lot of people that you can still have love for and not talk to. Yeah, you got love for your family members. You don't talk to some family members every day, but you still love them.
That's different.
Yeah. So
no, that's different. Because you referring to something where some shit fell apart and like, y'all was 100 and now y'all on -2. So that's totally different from saying that distance is keeping us from seeing each other. Because if that's the case, when y'all reconnect, y'all going to be back on 100 again. That ain't what you're saying.
I'm just saying like, yeah. So, I mean, people have falling outs, you know, relationships, friendships, work. All kinds of shit. Doesn't mean just because I don't speak to you don't mean it's a problem.
But just because I don't speak to you don't mean that it's not a problem.
Yeah, but either way, it's no, you know, I just don't have to talk to you.
But as grown people who once were cool, you owe me.
I owe you shit.
Yes, the fuck you do. Because you were fine telling me all your business when you needed somebody to hear you out. You was fine when, you know, shit was going good for you. You was fine with sharing all kinds of information with me, but now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to be a ghost. I'm supposed to disappear. I'm not supposed to feel no type of way when we were supposed to been friends. Like, that's the least you could do is say, hey, what you did was fucked up. Or you could say, hey, I think at this point in our lives, you know, we going in different directions. However it needs to be stated, rather, you know, I think you owe me the truth. You don't even need to owe me no lie, so don't even take your time to make up no shit. But tell a person what's what. We grown. That's for girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever type of relationship, friendship, whatever you got going on. Because as grown people, we shouldn't have to hide behind lies and shit when something went some type of way. And that's facts.
Physics.
Because that's just like saying somebody dating somebody. Whatever happened on the date or some shit that happened, you decide, oh, you ain't gonna call the person no more. Now y'all done been talking. Y'all done been texting. Now all of a sudden I got to guess that you don't want to fuck me no more. That shit ain't cool. If we been fucking, the least you can say is, hey, you know what? I met somebody. Or, hey, you know what? I realized this ain't going nowhere. This ain't the shit for me. It's good because it would be resolved. It is well with my soul when I know what's going on. But when you over here, I'm thinking, well, did I do something? Did I say something? Do I owe a nigga something? Like, you kind of thinking because you actually were vested in this relationship. And then for you to just be so cavalier with the person, feelings and things of that nature, now you want to say you don't really care and they just got to take the high road or they just got to, take the good memories and be gone. Yeah. Like, no, that's not how the fuck that work. Because if you ever cared about me, you shouldn't even want it to end like that.
I mean, hey, that's all I'm saying. Just, hey, remember the good times and keep it moving. Just, like, don't worry about it. Like, that's just how.
I mean, everybody different, but, you know, y'all are people who are emotionless. I guess that's the way y'all deal with life, so, you know.
Winner, loser time. Queen Germ, do you have any winners?
Yes, my winner this week is Geneva Barry.
Winner.
She is the founder and CEO of a nude pump collection company. Although these are supposed to be top-of-the-line pumps, they come in a variety of different tones of brown. So
pumps
that it.
Whoa, what kind of pumps?
Heels, high heel shoes.
Oh, so pumps. I don't know
where your vulgar mind
is. I was
thinking,
like, what a pump? Like, I thought you were talking about breast pumps or something.
No, nigga.
You said nude pump. And I was like,
nude, the color.
Yeah.
Therefore,
you said tones. That's what I'm
thinking.
Yes,
various tones of brown.
I knew it was a baby shortage or whatever, formula shortage.
Formula shortage, but it ain't.
Okay.
Because like I said, every baby comes with
they
a
got
mama
breast
with
milk
titties.
Banks.
So, and that's gross. But
yo, that's wild.
It is what it is. The shoes start out at $245. She is celebrating her fourth anniversary.
Shit.
So she been out there slinging these pumps for a minute here. Now they are at the $245 level. But she does offer Klarna. So that's a four-payment program that you can break that on up if you need to. So and they kind of nice shoes, but
kinda
I don't pay
nice
that
for
much.
$245.
I don't pay that kind of money for shoes, especially because I can't walk in heels long. So me spending $245 on a pair of shoes.
And what's the name of these again?
I mean, I think it's just under her name, her brand name.
Okay.
Geneva Barry is the name of the shoe collection. It's supposed to be luxury nude pump. You know.
Jesus.
And she got it for y'all. So
get that money, sis.
That's
get
right.
That money.
Black lady entrepreneur doing her darn thing. So I'm for it.
Oh man, my winner is Serena Williams, man.
Winner.
Serena Williams. I guess she played her last tennis match in the U.S. Open. She went out. She gave it a brave fight out there. You know, age. One thing about tennis, once age get to you, ain't no defeating Father Time in tennis. Like it's just you're a little bit slower. You ain't as fast, and the person you're going against is a little faster, and the hand-eye coordination a little bit quicker, and you know the same shots that you use, the power that you used to have, it ain't as powerful as it is, and that motherfucker returning to serve on you and volleying with you and making you run all across the court and you're old and shit, that shit just don't work. So I want to make her my winner for being the all-time Grand Slams, you know, having the most, you know, great career. She did a lot for the sport. A lot of black girls saw her out there dominating, picked up a tennis racket. So, Serena, you're my winner for having a great career and playing it the right way. You know, I'm going to leave it at that. I can't make you my winner and say nothing bad, so I'm going to stop right there.
Period.
Do you have any losers? Get me out of there, Queen Jerry, because I was...
Yes, my loser this week has to be none other than Tiffany Haddish.
Loser.
For the foodery that we talked about earlier, I had it on here. It wasn't spelled out. It wasn't no link next to the wording on the outline. And
still,
therefore,
you still could be a
when
loser.
It is. Because I ain't changing my shit.
Don't change your
shit. But the facts are, we talked about it, and you know that it's just silly for it to have been done. And so hopefully it ain't true.
Like, but, no, the skit is out there.
I mean, the skit is out there, but can
you
really
never
say... should
have did the skit. Like, why? What part of that, doing that skit, you should have been like, this what you doing, my nigga? This what you doing? Like, this, like nothing about that scream, like, yo, this ain't going to be funny. Like, yo, this might be... So you was okay with the shit that, like, that's the bad part about it. Like, you were okay with doing the shit. Like, so her and Ari Spears, like, that shit was terrible. We'll watch it in the post show.
Yeah.
We'll watch it in the post show. You know what I'm saying? So that way, you know, if you come to, if you're part of the Nappy Afro Patreon, you'll get Queen Jern's reaction to the video of Ari Spears and his whatever that little supposed to be funny video. So, yeah. But, yeah, we'll watch that in the post. But, yeah, man, that right there, she should have known better than that. And that's the bad part about it. That's the terrible part about it. My loser is Larsa Pippen.
Loser.
Larsa Pippen was spotted on a date with one of Michael Jordan's sons. Now, this nigga like 31. I think it was Marcus Jordan. Nigga like 31 years old. You know what I'm saying? Larsa, she probably about, 48, somewhere around there. Listen, lady. And then Michael Jordan's son. listen, this shit is disgusting. My lady, this is disgusting. Scottie Pippen's wife, ex-wife, whatever she is, she just been tossed around like a motherfucking beanbag. And yeah, so you're my loser, Larsa, for stooping this low, getting with Michael Jordan's son. Like, what is the point of this? Oh my God.
I mean, he nasty. If he's supposed to be, how old is he?
31.
Yeah, he old enough to know better.
Yeah.
And he wants some old cooter that's about like his mama's. That's he got a problem. Because that shit shouldn't even be appealing. I mean, like, what the fuck you want to do that for? That's gross.
Yeah, so she old as fuck.
What type of drugs you got to be on to be fucking somebody like that? Yeah. It's different when an old man want to fuck a young girl. You know what I'm saying? They of age, whatever. They consenting adults. But what pleasure does a young man get with knocking somebody down that remind you of your mama?
Hey, man, I heard niggas say they want to fuck, like, with some old women. I'd be like, bro, they like, nah, I fuck her now. I'd be like, what?
That's gross.
Like, no way. I don't want to fuck no old ass woman.
Like, I could see if you was fucking abroad who might at least have some work done and she don't look, you know what I'm saying, look old.
They talking about like...
But I'm talking about you. Lena, you talking about somebody who... Shit.
Niggas be like, yo, I fuck Lena on. I'm like, what? Fuck her now. What? Like, then...
Yeah, sick.
I'm not fucking...
Sick.
No. Like,
I don't even see how you could find nobody that look like your grandmama or mama appealing.
I don't care how fine she is. She still got the body of a... I'm talking about face.
That ain't even fine. The bitch look 79. So you can't tell me about what nobody look like when they old like that. Like, you got to respect the wrinkles. Like, what the fuck is you looking...
Respect the wrinkles.
Like, you looking at these people like, these people do not look young. Mm. It ain't nothing youthful about Lena Horne. It ain't nothing youthful about none of these... A lot of old people, like... Niggas say, oh, yeah, black don't crack, blah, 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 blah. But trust me, look at the motherfuckers' hands.
They be saying they'll bust old Claire Huxtable.
And they probably today. Will, but that's disgusting. look at her hands. I bet when she grabbed your dick, her hands look damn 70. I promise you, her hands look 70. I ain't seen one out there yet that if your ass is old, your hands can't lie. Nobody getting no plastic surgery on their hands. That shit is lacking collagen and everything. You see that damn shit, it ain't what you want. I'm telling you, that ain't what you want around there.
My hands look up.
Your hands look 40. All day long. Really? Look like they've been here 40 years.
Damn.
Yeah. Mine do too. Damn. So I'm just telling you, look at their hands.
All right, I'm start looking at hands now.
You ain't got no business looking at nothing. you not cousin. Looking at anything, sir.
Oh, you a young nigga. You an old nigga. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying gotcha. To tell you. Mm. Don't matter what you do. It ain't nothing that you can undo that. You can't undo that, so it's all right.
Speaking of being all right, Queen Germ, it's that time of show where I ask you, do you have any shout-outs?
And you know I do. I want to shout out Pam and the fam, the Johnson Five, the Lunch Crew, and the Front Porch, and my girl KY No Jelly, and anybody that's representing the 912. That's Savannah, Georgia, y'all. I represent my city, nigga.
She represents her city. My shout outs go a little something like this. Shout out to Be Easy, Saw Right, GQ Blue, Short T.
Short T.
Rule on Myself, Rick James, Bitch, RT3, my nigga J Will, Stack, Static, MJ Money 9S, Light Skin Kanye, Drew from DC, Gerard from Boston, Pepe J from B More, Steph from B More, 12 Cal Podcast, Eclectic and the EDP, this Eclectic Discussion Podcast. We got Corey Dos Equis, I'm Something Else, The Power Lunch Hour. We got Pork L, Miss Minnie Meeks, Cool Out Corner. We got Dr. Abrasive, Dr. Cam. Oh, happy belated birthday to Dr. Abrasive, man. Shout out.
Happy birthday.
His birthday was actually last Friday when the show came out, so I missed that. But he one of them niggas that don't celebrate their birthday, but whatever. Mm. Long live Kayla, the truck driver. That's the Dr. Abrasive Network. It's also the Black Pod Squad. Please go check us out, blackpodsquad.com. Check out some shows. Shout out to Sleazy Black Farmer, Amazing AP, Dragon Lady. All the podcasts that fuck with us, man. You got Uncle Dolomite, Too Much Game. You got Harrison in the 8 More Than 92 podcast, a.k.a. Hoochie. Shout out to Jay from the Cognac Room. Shout out to Roddus Live. Shout out to Mario at the Sound of My Voice. Who else? Any other podcasts that fuck with us, man. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to everybody over that site, Dot Cloud, all the gang. No Man Gang, you got Dom, Dot in the building. All the IG followers, shout out to y'all. The list is starting to grow. So I'm just going to throw blankets out there. Anybody else to fuck with us the long way? Papa Dash, Daughter Dash. Anybody else to fuck with us the long way, the short way, or no way at all, man? Shout out to y'all, man. Well, Queen Germ, another one's in the books. I got to ask you, it's time to rate your show. What you giving it?
Hey. The house is not underwater this week. We had a couple of good topics. You and your dick-slinging midgets and shit. So, if nothing else.
You was talking about the dick-slinging midgets.
I'm just saying, you brought it up. You brought it up. So, I had to run with it. As we do every week, ain't no need in holding out. Y'all know what it is. I'm going to get a show of 9.
All right, man. Well, I did energy was on the fritz earlier, but, you know.
You on the fritz.
The professionalism came about. Bought everything together. And likewise, like you, I'm not going to hold out because I'm going to get a show in 8. Because 8 is better than 7. Not quite as good as 9. And Kobe wore 8.
Sounds good to me. Let's do this thing.
Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe to the Frocast by going to Frocast.com. Don't forget about our voicemail. We can call in at 347-201-2572. Leave voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Don't forget about our Patreon. You can join for as little as a dollar by going to nappyafro.club. And don't forget to buy a fucking shirt, bitch. It's that simple.
That simple.
That easy.
You talking about the energy off, you sound like you sleep.
I was just bringing it home. That's how you bring. You got a suit. You know when you rent, when you land the plane, you have that. Thank y'all for riding on Southwest. This is your captain. That soothing voice. So I was bringing them home with that soothing voice.
All right.
Yes. So on behalf of everyone here at the Nappy Afro Studios, it's your boy King Germ.
And it's your girl Queen Germ.
And this is the Frocast, and we out this bitch, man. Peace.
Peace.
This is the end of the show. Feel free to visit nappyafro.com for more information. Or not. It's your loss.
nappyafro.com